I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we welcome on the WBEN live line, Dave Leventhal, Washington insider, is with us. Dave, plenty to get to, but want to start with yesterday, President Trump calling it a crime emergency in D.C., taking over the police force, deploying the National Guard. Can a president legally do this? It reminds me, Dave, of the spat that we had a few weeks ago over the Commander's Stadium and how President Trump didn't really have final say there, but was still trying to assert some authority there.
The short answer is yes, that he can do this here in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. has kind of a bizarre setup in that it's a city, it's a municipality, just like Buffalo or New York City or just about anywhere else in the country. But at the same time, too, by it being a federal district, the president of the United States and the federal government writ large has powers over it that it doesn't have over other cities. And that includes, based on the Home Rule Charter of Washington, D.C., the ability to federalize the police force for a temporary amount of time. It's 30 days, so long as he notifies Congress. And that's exactly what appears to be happening. The president of the United States also has power over the D.C. National Guard in a way that he doesn't over, at least quite as much, over National Guards that would be operating in New York State or, for example, California, as we saw not too many weeks ago. And so as a result, this is happening. The bigger issue here is, well, why is it happening? And all I can say is that the biggest gang of marauding anything that I saw last night was some deer across the street munching on the grass. So a lot of people here in D.C. are a bit befuddled. D.C. has crime, just like any other city, make no mistake. But the idea that there's a crime emergency here, people are just not seeing it on the ground, and I can count myself among them.
Is this a situation where this, it seems like a policy, because being tough on crime, especially in big cities where we've seen it run rampant over the last 5 years, seems like a very popular thing across the country, even if it might not be popular in the city that we're talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, Donald Trump has the power to do this, so therefore he's doing it. And nobody should be surprised. He's been talking about D.C. being crime-ridden and filled with filth and lots of language of that sort ever since his first term. And he sees what he sees, and sometimes he'll see a homeless encampment. There was a situation, very, very bad one, just a few days ago, where a former member of his administration got beat up in an attempted carjacking. You know, these things happen. Absolutely. But that is different than the idea that D.C. is lawless and that things are on fire and there are riots in the streets. I mean, that's just simply not the case. So the question here is, well, what is this actually going to amount to? What is this trying to achieve? Is there going to be a marked reduction in crime in Washington, D.C. for the crimes that are happening? And is it going to target areas that are high profile, the monuments, the areas downtown, federal land, or go into communities where there really is a spike in crime relative to other parts in the city and make those situations better? The municipal government of Washington, D.C. doesn't have those answers yet. They're not sure how this is going to look in reality, even though the announcement, of course, has been made that the police force has been federalized.
Dave, want to switch gears a little bit here. One of President Trump's campaign promises was ending all the wars. He has a chance, I guess, a step at doing that when he meets with Vladimir Putin this week. What's the expectation in D.C. for how that's going to go?
Well, the White House is doing something it doesn't do all that often, which is temper expectations. And what I mean by that is that they're telegraphing that they don't necessarily see this summit between Putin and Trump being a be-all, end-all, that all answers will be had after this meeting in the state of Alaska. And they see this, at least at this point, as perhaps a precursor to a bigger conversation or a more finalized decision about where the war between Russia and Ukraine is going. Obviously, the person who is not going to be there, who is central to all of this, will be Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. And in Europe, to a lesser extent, has a major role in all of this, in that many European countries are quite supportive of Ukraine and do not want any concessions from either the United States or Russia that's going to harm Ukraine's ability to retain all of its territory that it believes it is entitled to. So the big fear here among people who support Ukraine is that this will be a Neville Chamberlain kind of moment where Donald Trump will declare peace in our time and Vladimir Putin will see this as an opportunity to exploit the situation to an even greater degree than he already has.
Really strange, I think, Dave, to watch what happened the last couple of weeks with AI and the president, where this new deal with NVIDIA allowing them to sell chips to China, they desperately need this to advance their AI program. We were just talking about how we need to win the AI war against China.
Yeah, and this sometimes priorities collide. And if you want AI advancement quickly, but you also want manufacturing here in the United States, that may not necessarily be the most efficient and direct route to getting AI supremacy. And that just speaks to the hard reality that our economy here in the United States is not a closed one, that it is inextricably linked with production lines and production channels and that go all around the world. And so for companies that have historically, or at least in recent history, relied on other countries for their production, this is something that is going to be a massive deal and you can't snap your fingers and change it overnight. So expect that to be an ongoing story, not only for the next many days and weeks, but months in Donald Trump's full term. And and this is just a concession, in essence, by the companies to go ahead and do what they want to do, which is continue forward with their ability to produce and produce quickly.
All right. Hey, Dave, thank you. Dave Leventhal, Washington Insider.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.